Hey Lori, thank you so much for being here with us today. I am so excited at the opportunity to chat with you again, but this time, tables turned and you will be our focus. So, welcome to the Being Unapologetically Authentic podcast. Can we start by just sharing something about yourself? How did you get started? How did you learn these secrets of being a mom and super mom? And yeah, take it from here.
I love it. Yes, I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited for another opportunity to talk. It's going to be great. But yes, my name is Lori Oberbreckling. I am a wife. I'm a mom of four. I am a corporate leader in corporate America. And I also am the founder of Secrets of Supermom. And so back in post-pandemic times, I started to realize that some moms were doing things differently. And I wanted to know what those things were. How did some moms still feel like they were keeping things together, and some moms felt like they were falling apart? What were they doing differently? And so I interviewed and surveyed almost 200 moms, and I pulled together these 16 secrets that turned into the book Secrets of
Wow.
Supermom, and has turned into, of course, so many things from there. But that was really what it was I started to get curious about what some moms were doing differently that was helping them, those things that were helping them feel like they could keep it together without falling apart every day.
And during the pandemic, I mean, you heard both sides of the story, as you had mentioned, right? And so, which side of the story did you fall on? Did you have a really challenging time when we went full remote and, balancing your home life with the kids at home plus schoolwork plus work and then plus everything else? Or, did you find that it was a little bit easier, that you were able to let go a little bit easier of things that maybe you hadn't thought of?
So I felt like I was doing okay, homeschooling and working and hosting team meetings and doing all of those things at the same time is incredibly challenging. It was not easy, not even a little bit easy. But I did feel like I wasn't as stressed out as some of the other moms in my friend group. And when I started to do the interviews and started to kind of get more information, I realized, I have systems already in place for these things. So they've tweaked, but I wasn't creating something from scratch. And so I was really able to take some of the routines, the habits, the systems I had in the house and tweak them a little bit instead of having to create from the very beginning and having nothing in place. And I think as I got more information, I was like, oh, that's why, those moms are saying what I am thinking. This is why this is working. And so just kind of realizing some of the things that I had in place and then realizing where maybe I didn't have solid habits in place or I didn't have a routine in place and where that definitely got in my way. Yeah.
Yeah, so that piqued my interest. So let's talk about some of the systems that you had in place and what were the tweaks that you had to make. And then what were the, oh my gosh, this isn't working type of moments?
Yes. So I love a morning routine. I have gotten up before my children, or at least tried to. I've moved my morning wake up earlier and earlier and earlier so that I can wake up before my children. So it's at 4 a.m. right now, if you can imagine, but it is before my kids. And that's always been my goal. And that has been for years. And so doing a very quick morning routine, it usually involves coffee and a quick gratitude practice, reviewing my plan for my day, that I've kind of already set out at my, I do a weekly plan and then I look at my plan every day. Doing that every single day was already in place. And so even though now I had to figure out how does homeschooling and meetings with a teacher overlap with the meetings that I have for my day job and with my teams, the process was the same. It was just different things on the calendar. And so I feel like that was one massive thing. I think the other thing was that weekly planning. I had been doing weekly planning for years and sitting down on Sunday morning and looking at my plan for the week and not just going, does this week look okay? Literally mapping out all of my work meetings, all of my kid activities, all of my own personal activities, my workouts, my meals, everything. And I looked at that once a week and it made a massive difference because, like I said, even though new things were in there and I thought, wow, how are we going to make this work? I was able to make that decision on Sunday, how we were going to make it work, not in a panicked Monday morning at 9 a.m. or not in a panicked Thursday afternoon at 2 when all of a sudden we had a thing that I didn't expect, right? Something came up that I didn't expect. So I think those two things were huge.
I love that. And then, so I'm going to ask you this. Paper planner or electronic planner?
Oh, so I am totally a hybrid. And here's why. My husband, for a long time, begged me to use electronic. And I said, no, I love my paper planner. And he said, but I never know what's happening. And I thought, huh, yeah, fair, right? He doesn't know what's happening. No wonder he can't help me. He doesn't even know what's going on. So totally fair. So probably 8 years ago, maybe even longer, we started using the Cozy app. We put everything in there, all the family activities. So I know what he's doing. He knows what I'm doing. And we all know what the kids are doing. And as the kids have gotten older, the kids know what they're doing, right? They can have their own autonomy with the things that they can put in there as they get old enough to get a phone. And so he even created this digital board in our kitchen that pulls those things. So it's visible to everybody in the family. So that's huge, right? That's really important. Except I also still really love the paper planner. So I take my work meetings and our personal stuff from all these electronic tools that are amazing, and I pull them into a paper planner every single week.
Yeah. And I love that because I also do the same, but it's not as organized as the way that you're describing yours. So my husband set up the Google calendar. And then yes. So, you know, and it's so silly at first when I started doing it, but like, I will email him my workouts. I will email him when I have to go away. I will email like all of these like invites. Right. And then so that this way, and I get very upset when he doesn't return the favor, but like this way, we're at least talking to each other that way, right? Because oftentimes, like, I can briefly mention it, but he's not paying attention. And then we forget, or he'll think that he mentioned it. And I'm like, you never mentioned that. But then if it's on the Google Calendar or in, you know, some form, right, that it's there for us to see it, then you can't forget it. Yes. But I also love paper because I can color code it. So I don't know if you use that technique too, because I find that to be so easy to look at and like plan that way.
Yes. I just love being able to look at it on paper, planned out. Like I get that I can do the same thing on an electronic calendar, but there's just something about writing it down, being able to see it, having those blocks of to-do items, all of that. And I'll tell you that the electronic side, another reason it was really great is that for the first 10 years of parenthood, my husband traveled almost every week. Mm-hmm. And then we, in that last year, actually overlapped where I traveled a ton. Okay. He traveled a ton and I traveled a ton. If we did not have this electronic calendar to know where our children would be, when we would need to not be able to schedule trips, we wouldn't have been able to do it. It was a very, very stressful time. And one of the things that saved us was being able to use this electronic calendar together.
Yeah. And as you're saying that, I can just imagine your kids like standing by the curb, you know, you see in the movies, like, when are our parents going to come pick us up?
Yes. Because you're like, you're not home. I'm not home. What's happening?
Yes.
Totally.
Oh my goodness. All right. So kind of moving away from the pandemic, let's talk about your role as a mom, as a super mom, right? So somebody who has corporate leadership position, but also who has 4 children and the side business of yours. And I call it a side business just because you also have the corporate side too. And so how do you manage it all, right? And I have another question. So let me ask you that first.
Yeah, I think really the two things I just said is that morning routine that's very strict and the weekly planning that I am looking at, how do all of these things overlap with each other? Because I get that some people that talk about work-life balance really talk about compartmentalized life, right? They have work and then they have a transition moment and they go into home and then they're mom, right? They have these very divided roles. My life does not exist like that. My life is very overlapped where I am doing a work thing, then a mom thing, then a work thing, then a mom thing, then a leadership thing, then it, right? It's just so involved that I have to have that scheduled out so that I can do all of the things that I really want to do. I feel very passionate about my corporate leadership position and my teams. I feel very passionate about my business. And I, of course, feel unbelievably passionate about my family and want my quality time with them.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think it's so important too that we talk about this next thing, which is this, what you mentioned before, the work-life quote unquote balance, right? I personally think that that's a myth. I think that we are so misled when we talk about work-life balance, but that's something that I feel like only people who have gone through it can appreciate, right? This lack of balance, but there is a way to manage it all. And I don't mean manage as in like manage, but there is a way to thrive amongst all of it. And, you know, one of the things that I had, and I had shared this story previously on another episode of my podcast in the past. I had heard, I was sitting in a women's network luncheon where there was a very senior person that was, you know, sharing her story, how she came up and climbed the corporate ladder. And it came to the Q&A section. And one of the junior analysts, who I think may have just been out of college, maybe a couple of years at most, asked the question of, or said something to the effect of, you know I have to make a choice of career versus family. And, you know, there was this implication and this message that she had received somewhere along the line that if she wanted a successful career, she had to put off starting a family. And so I wanted to get that, like, threw me, because that was never what I grew up with. My parents and my mom always worked and she managed it. She did very well. You know, she wasn't in corporate per se, but there was never this concept. She made time for everything, right? So I wanted to get your thoughts. Is there a choice? You know, if somebody came to you and said, hey, how do I make this choice of career versus family? And will my, you know, will my career suffer if I decide to start a family? How would you respond to that? What advice would you give them?
Yeah, I think you can absolutely have both and thrive at both. I do not think it has to be an either or. It sort of breaks my soul, right, to think of having to choose, because yeah. I wouldn't want to choose. I would feel a massive level of resentment to the thing I chose if I had to choose. I know it. I can just feel how unhappy I would be if I felt forced to just pick one, right? Because thriving in my career, growing my career, working with teams has been an amazing part of my life. And of course, having a family has been, you know, a dream, and then getting to do it is just amazing also. And so having to choose between them just, I think, is crippling, right? But I do think that it's hard. There are times when you do have to choose in a specific situation. I don't mean choose entirely, but, you know, I wrote a story in my book. There's an example of me. I missed my younger daughter's. So she's my third child. I missed her first day of kindergarten because I was at a business meeting that was to kick off a massive project. We had lots of client teams there. It was very important when I looked at what is the importance of me being at first day of school, and what is the importance of this meeting? It was a no-brainer that I chose the meeting, right? Because my husband was here. He got to attend first day of school. He got to do things that he never got to do before, like listen to the story, like walk her to school, like take all the first day of school pictures, right? He did all those things that he had not done before. So it gave him an opportunity to really step into that role that he didn't get to do. And it allowed me to really show up for my team, where I knew if I asked her right now, was I at your first day of kindergarten? She has no idea. She doesn't know who was there. She does not care. It is not, you know, she's in fourth grade now. No qualms about that, right? So are there choices to make? Yes, but I don't think that it has to be one or the other. I think there is a way to find what feels like balance for each of us. And it always looks different, right? It's all, your balance is different than my balance. It's someone else's balance. It always looks different, but it feels balanced. It feels like you're giving the right amount of quantity and quality in the areas that you want so that you feel like your life is complete.
And do you feel, because then we had this conversation with, I had another conversation with another, I think she's at the VP level, if I remember correctly, actually just yesterday. And we were talking about somebody at another corporate financial institution and a woman who had five kids and now is the head of running a large business department. And so, you know, her comment was, wow, like, that's really impressive because, you know, if you think about it, that's five different maternity leaves that she had to go on. And how did that not? And the question was, how did that not slow down her career? So you having four kids, did you find that being on maternity leave slowed down your career path at all? Or did it have any impact on it? If not, was there something that you did? Or do you just find that people are understanding?
Yeah. So I love this question because I actually have a very distinct story. So I have, my industry has a lot of women in different roles, but there are a lot of women in clinical research is what my industry is. Lots of men, of course, too, but it is not like a very, very heavy male, you know, dominated. It's not overly male dominated, I would say, in at least in the area that I am. And so there are lots of women who, of course, have babies. But I remember a conversation I reported to a male at the time, a dad, and I was in project management at the time and I wanted to become a senior project manager. And I was very pregnant. And I said to him, I feel like this leave is going to put me backwards. And I said, I don't want it to do that, but I don't know how it won't. And I'm not willing to take 2 weeks off and come back and hustle because I want this time with my daughter. I want this time with my other two children, right? Because she was my third. So I got to have, you know, a little time with both of them. And I just wanted both and I didn't know how to do it. And he told me, I don't think it is going to put you back. Everybody knows what effort you give. Everybody knows that you are committed to this role, right? And unbeknownst to me, I did not know this piece, but apparently there had been some promotion submission at some point because while I was on maternity leave, I was promoted to senior project manager. Oh, I did not know. I returned to my position after not talking to anybody and was promoted. So I had a neighbor that was said, of course, it's like who gets promoted on their maternity leave? And so I do believe that you can still climb while you're on leave. But I think a lot of this has to do with the conversations we're having with our leadership, the conversations that we're having with the people around us, the leaders that support us, but maybe we don't report to. All of those people that we make connections with, those relationships, you have to count on them and be able to use them as mentors, but also have them know what you want and where you're going. It has to be very clear. I am climbing a ladder here. I want more responsibility. I want more opportunity. I want more say, right? I want to have a seat at the table and making sure that's clear that everyone that works with you knows it and not in a yucky, like gross, I'm going to step on everyone else way, but just in a really, I want you to know that this is where I'm going and this is where I'm headed. And anything you can tell me to help me grow and get better at that, I want to know it, right? Be really open to that, that feedback that you can get. And I think not all of us are willing to talk about ourselves that way, right? We're not willing to say that we might want the promotion, but it's real secret inside of us and no one knows, or maybe only our like cubicle mate knows and no one else knows. So I think just making sure that it's really clear always that you're in this to win it, right? And this is what you want. And you're committed, even though you're committed to your family, you are also committed to this amazing role.
I love that because I think you touched on a point that so many women, whether moms or not, but so many women are afraid to do. I think we see more of it happening in the younger generations, but in our generation, we're taught to be humble. And then when you're not but being humble means not self-promoting, right? Like you don't brag, right? Like that's all that it's kind of like one and the other, you get tied to the other. But problem is that if you don't promote yourself, there's nobody out there that's going to promote for you. And, you know, it's so funny that you're talking about promotion because I'm going through a process right now too, in my corporate job where, you know, I've been talking about, okay, and asking the question, how do we get promoted to the next level, which is, you know, the top level that you can get to. And, you know, they're like, well, we have to wait for this person. And I'm like, wait, hold on a second. What does that even mean? Right. So if you don't have these conversations, you could sit there and burn the candle at both ends, pushing yourself to work hard. And you don't even realize that it has nothing to do or the lack of promotion has nothing to do with your efforts, right? So yes, it's so important to have these conversations to better understand like what is going on in other people's brain and to get more guidance in terms of how to get there faster or how to get there more efficiently or with more ease. You know, so even if it's like feeling icky, you got to do it. You got to have that conversation. It's so important because otherwise you go into your maternity leave and imagine if you never had the conversation, you'd be sitting there freaking out. You wouldn't be able to like enjoy the time that you actually get to spend with your kids because you're so worried and you're on your BlackBerry and whatever it is. I don't know. You remember BlackBerries?
I totally had a BlackBerry. Oh, I love it. We're showing our age, but I totally did.
At least I didn't say pagers. That's, you know, like past our time. But, so you know, I think it's so important that you mention that because it's just, we have to have those conversations. We have to ask the question at least, yeah, you know.
And even if I think so often people don't want to say, well, I want to be promoted, but so you go in, go at it with the, I really see it myself having a future at this company. How can I continue to grow? Right. That is a very, very non-confrontational statement that you could easily say to anyone that you're reporting to in leadership or any of your other leaders, and they could give you honest and open feedback to that if you really show that you're open to it. And yeah, then take it and say, okay, what do I need to do here? If that's really what you want, right? If you really see that future for yourself where you are. And if the response ends up being something that you're like, oh, I do not any longer see a future here. Now you know, right? Now you know that you need to plan your exit strategy instead of your climbing the ladder strategy.
Yeah, I love that. So the next question I wanted to ask you is, you know, you mentioned having your husband help you with that first day of kindergarten, and I'm sure that you guys work together to bring up your family. And so, you know, how do people ask for help at work, right? Especially somebody in the leadership position or even somebody in a more junior position, you know, is asking for help important, which I think you'll say yes. And then if so, how do you ask for help without it feeling like you're weak? You know, I think that's always the concern, or you're insufficient, I think is the concern, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like starting to feel like, why can't I do all of the things, right? Well, sometimes it's because you're doing things that aren't in your role, right? Sometimes you've taken on some of that invisible work at work or invisible load at work, right? Maybe you're just doing all the party planning and you're doing all the like extra organizing and you don't need to be doing that. Maybe you're covering for some weaker members of your team and you're stepping in and doing half of their job and your job, right? Maybe you can't do it because you really can't do it. It's too many people's jobs. And so I think the first step before you can know where to ask for help is to really realize what's on your plate and should it be. And I don't mean like, should I do that as in, you know, like the icky shoulds of motherhood. I'm talking about you have a position that you were hired to do. What in that role are you doing? And what else is extra that's sitting on your plate that is not helping you get promoted, that is not helping you enjoy your job more, right? Because maybe you just took on something because you're like, this is going to be so fun and I'm going to love it, right? Maybe it's just giving you lots of energy and you love that. Cool. Keep that. If it lights you up, keep it. But just really looking at all of that, what is on your plate. And then I think you can say, I need to ask for help because I actually need to put accountability on someone else to do their job, or I need to escalate things to leadership, or maybe I do have only my own things, but there are areas where I can help develop someone junior to me and they can take on something where it's a benefit to me because I'm getting the help I need and they're learning a new task and they can grow at the same time. Those types of win-wins I am always a fan of. Yeah. So those types of things are things that I like to start with, because then it doesn't really feel like saying I can't do this and asking for help. It's being strategic about your career.
Yeah, I love that. And it's, you know, I think it's so key too, because what you pointed out is that difference between being productive and being busy, right? Because so many of us think that being busy means that we are value adding to the company, where in essence, it's probably not the best use of our resources, of our skill set. You know, like you said, it could be something that's better delegated to somebody more junior or somebody else who, you know, would benefit more from an event planning type of activity.
Yeah. And you taking on those extra things, like, does it make your team think, wow, she's willing to do anything, she'll be so great in the next level role? Or does it make them think, wow, she's so good at that, I can't lose her from that role? Don't become the I can't lose her from that role, right?
I love it. You're revealing the secrets of getting promoted.
All the secrets.
And then so one of the things I know you always talk about and you give such good advice on in your Instagram page is burnout, right? Mm. So what can you share? Because you are obviously successful outside of work, at work. And so what can you share besides the tools that you've already shared with us? What can you share with our audience on how to avoid that burnout, but yet still do what they want to do?
Yeah, I think so. I definitely hit burnout in 2018. I got a new promotion and I was gunning for a promotion. You guys heard me say, I've always been gunning for a promotion. I am always trying to climb. I'm always trying to do more, do better, be stronger, learn more, right? That is a passion of mine. That is what keeps me motivated at work. So those things I have to do, and not have to in a use that I have to in my own soul. Like it is a drive I need to do. And so I do that at work. Well, I did that. And at the same time, my husband got a promotion. And at the same time, I took on a volunteer project that in hindsight, I probably should not have taken on, right? And then my children had all the things that my children always have. And I didn't reduce any of those things. And I had just so much on my plate that sleep went away, not entirely, but it certainly wasn't enough. And I needed to be so unbelievably scheduled to get everything done that there was zero time for anything I really wanted to do. And I was minute to minute every waking hour, even on the weekends, every waking hour. It was miserable. And then I started to hate everything. I hated the things that I actually loved. I hated the climate work. I hated the volunteer project that I was doing, even though I loved what I was actually doing. I hated driving my kids to all their things, even though that's something I totally love doing. I just started to hate it all. And so I would say, if you are starting to feel that I'm not loving this like I used to, you're starting to feel like you're getting those, you're saying yes to things you feel like you should do instead of those things that you're really excited about. When you start to get those early triggers, long before you ever feel burnt out, start to question that. Start to ask yourself some questions. Do I need a boundary here? Do I need to teach myself? I've heard from a couple of other women that they've said, make every answer no. And that feels a little bit too much to me, but make every answer no. What if every answer was, I need to think about it? And you never said yes right away, so that you could actually take the pause and think about it and make a decision as if something is going to light you up, going to lead you on a path that you want to be on, or if it's just another thing to be busy and do. Because if it's just another thing to be busy and do, burnout is the path that you are on.
I love that. I love that so much. And it's so important to like be able to rest without feeling guilty, right? Like to your point of saying no or saying I'll think about it, just allowing for yourself to rest and being guilty, and who cares what other people think or who cares what algorithm is going to get messed up, doesn't matter, because you're not going to run on empty for too long.
You can't, you just can't. And then you will either mentally crash, right? Or your body will actually crash. You know, you hear of so many people with adrenal fatigue and all of these things because their body says, I told you no, and you didn't listen. So now I'm telling you that it's impossible because I'm going to shut you down. And that's just not a path you want to be on, because then that's a long climb out and for nothing, right? Really, these things are preventable if we pay attention to the way we really feel. We pay attention to, you know, be intentional with the time that we're spending.
I love that. Okay. One last question. And then, so this season, my theme for this podcast is truth. So I want to get to the bottom, I want to get to the truth of authenticity, of success, of whatever it is that, you know, my guests want to share. And so for you, I wanted to ask you, as I will for every other guest on this season too, is what is your truth about success?
What is my truth about success? I truly, the first thing that comes to my mind immediately is that people are the most important thing. I truly believe that the relationships that you have in your life, and I'm talking about your kids and your husband or partner, right? I'm talking about those relationships. I'm talking about the friends that you have. I'm talking about the connections you make at work. I'm talking about the networking that you do for your business. I'm talking about the leaders that you connect with. Those people all of those people are going to make or break everything that you do. They're going to make or break the relationships and the, like, the joy that you have in your life. They're going to make or break the career climb that you get to do. They're going to make or break everything. If you can prioritize one thing in your life, if it is relationships, everything else is easier.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. And so, Lori, where can the audience members find you? How can they learn more about what you do and even work with you if they feel like they're on the verge of burnout? Share with us.
Yes. Best place to go is secretsofsupermom.com. That's where you can find the podcast, The Secrets of Supermom Show. Links to all of my social media, everything Secrets of Supermom. But that's the best place.
Awesome. And then also your book too, right, is available there as
well. It is. Yes, you can get it.
And I know that there's a freebie that you're going to offer to our audience. So that'll be in the show notes too. So I'm so excited for everyone to be able to check you out. And thank you so much for being here today. It was such a fun conversation. I'm so happy you were able to make it.
This was such a pleasure. I'm so glad we met.
Me too. I will, you know what? It's so funny. I just had a freak out moment. I was like, oh my God, did we not record? But we did. Okay. As every podcaster will know, that is like the worst possible scenario ever.
I one time almost did it. And then she was like, wait, are you recording? And I was like, oh my goodness, I am not. And it was, but only one time. And thank goodness that other one, she was a podcaster too. And she was like, I got you, girl.
She got it. Yeah. No. Oh, okay. Well, we are recording. So my audience will hear this. Awesome. So thanks everybody again for listening. Stay tuned for more episodes. We will chat. We will talk again soon. And thank you again, Lori, for being here.
Thank you.